Homeboy Industries, the acclaimed institution that has worked to transform the lives of gang members in East Los Angeles for more than two decades, was forced into massive layoffs last week. The organization, founded by Boyle Heights Jesuit priest Father Gregory Boyle to combat gang violence through job placement, has fallen short of maintaining its operating budget. And as a result, 300 employees, including senior staff and administrators, have found themselves suddenly out of work. The independent nonprofit has been adversely affected by the long-standing economic recession, as fewer private donations and less government funding has come at the same time when unemployment has increased demand for its services. Despite the financial hardships, Homeboy Industries is not shutting down. 100 people will continue to be employed at the organization's businesses, including Homegirl Cafe, Homeboy Bakery, and Merchandise Store. Services such as tattoo removal and mental health counseling will also remain in operation. As part of the effort to sustain Homeboy Industries, Father Boyle released his memoir, Tattoos on the Heart, The Power of Boundless Compassion, earlier this year. A reflection of more than two decades of his life working with gangs, the book is filled with stories of tragedy, transformation, and hope. Both humorous and heartbreaking at times, Father Boyle's words provoke compassion for gang members, all too often stripped of their humanity in the public sphere. Actor and activist Martin Sheen calls the book an extraordinary reflection of a life committed to reshaping and redirecting the lives of countless young gang members. All proceeds from sales of Tattoos on the Heart go toward keeping Homeboy Industries alive, a task no more urgent than now. Father Gregory Boyle, founder and executive director of Homeboy Industries, author of Tattoos on the Heart, joins me on the phone. Welcome to Uprising.
It's good to be with you.
Thanks so much for joining us. Well, we were hoping to have you in studio, but we're happy to have you on the phone. I know that you're a very, very busy man, particularly right now. Before we talk about what is happening with Homeboy Industries, give our listeners a brief history, or actually just even a sense of what Homeboy Industries means to East LA's population.
It's not to East L.A. I mean, we were born in East L.A., but now we serve the entire county. Mm-hmm. Every zip code that has gangs, we help folks from every corner of this county. So we're the largest gang intervention program in the country, and no place like it.
And so job placement, I understand, is the main sort of focus?
Yeah, well, we also, you name whatever might be helpful for somebody who's who needs to redirect his or her life, and we do it from tattoo removal to mental health counseling to locating of jobs and hiring them here in our five businesses.
Did you foresee the financial crisis that has hit the organization?
Yeah, I mean, we sounded the alarm in November, quite publicly, actually. And then, here we are. You know, we never really got the help that we needed. We got lots of people giving a little bit, and that we've been able to cobble together our payrolls, but we just couldn't do it forever, and obviously we need to have somebody weigh in much the same way that they've done, for the Museum of Contemporary Art or Hollywood sign.
So is it that government funding or subsidies have been curtailed, or foundations, or just in general private donations have fallen?
All of the above, and we're woefully underfunded. And yet, there's no place like it. You know, we're at county jail this weekend. I'm told at the services, the inmates were tearfully kind of praying out loud, what are we going to do if Homeboy's not there? Because we are it. There is no place like it. Mm. And they don't have plan B, C, or D. There's no other, where are they going to turn? Because there's no there.
So of the, 400 employees, 300 have been laid off?
Yeah, we have 127 who are currently working here. With the donations that have come in, we're hoping to be able to bring back the senior staff, because that's the program, and we want to be able to, continue to have our doors open where we can at least offer the services, even if we are unable to bring trainees in. Most of the people who were laid off were trainees.
Now, the concept is a simple one. You give young people who don't have too many opportunities for employment, you give them employment so that they stay out of trouble. But why is it that Homeboy Industries is really the only such outlet that's serving the entire LA County, the gang capital of the country?
Yeah, well, I think it's a tough sell. You know, these are felons with covered in tattoos. And that's a tough sell for people. Mm-hmm. And yet, you know, there are absolute public safety implications for the existence of this place. And so the county and the city, my gosh, they get a bargain, you know, in having this place operative. And if people think this costs a lot of money, you know, the cost to the place, to the county, if we didn't exist, it would be quite intense. So hard to figure out. I think the grassroots sort of gets this place. It's been quite the outpouring of support from people from all over the county and the country, really. Mm-hmm. It's just for now we're trying to get somebody who could really write quite a large check so we don't find ourselves in this place again.
How large a check are you looking for?
Well, I mean, we talk about the bridge that we need to get through this time is $5 million. That gives us some breathing room so that our natural fundraising, which is remarkable given the fact that we don't get government grants at the moment and the fact that foundations have, you know, kind of slowed down just because of the recession. That, you know, I think this will give us breathing room and much needed room.
I'm speaking with Father Gregory Boyle. He is the founder and executive director of Homeboy Industries. His new book is Tattoos on the Heart, The Power of Boundless Compassion. In your book, Father Boyle, you said, "The day will not come before I am more noble, have more courage, or am closer to God than any of the folks whose lives fill these pages." What do you mean by that, and how do you explain this sort of compassion to people who are horrified by murders in their communities, and especially to parents whose kids have been killed by gang violence?
Well, again, that's the whole point of compassion, is to be able to stand in awe at what people have to carry rather than stand in judgment at how they carry it. And in the end, you know, the measure of our compassion will lie not in our service of those on the margins, but in our ability to find ourselves in kinship with them. So, and that's the highest calibration, really. You know, Jesus says, love your enemies. He's not suggesting we do this because it's the harder thing. You know, the harder thing is not the better thing. It's just the harder thing. Mm-hmm. But Jesus suggests this, of course, because, truthfully, it's the thing that most resembles the heart of God. So that's where we want to be, and that's the sure and certain hope that you know, represents the deepest longing, truly, of who we are as people.
The stories that you write about in your book, the stories of young people that you have worked with over two decades, did you document these stories as they were happening, these lives as they were happening, or did you write this book based on memories?
Well, over the years, I've been telling the stories, so they sort of stay fresh to me, and then they get cemented in my memory. And then I took a sabbatical, and I wrote them down. But they've been sort of in my head for some time.
And why did you write them down?
Well, I use them in my kind of in my homilies in Mass, you know. And so I've just been, you know, trotting them out for the last quarter of a century.
Now, so, you work primarily with Latino youth. How, whose faith you share, how has religion been a bridge for your work? And how, and do the youths that you work with take you more seriously because you're a priest?
Well, first of all, again, I was this program was born in a community that was primarily Latino. Mm-hmm. And now we you know, half our workers are African American, so that's quite different from our beginnings. But, you know, I wouldn't say there's any kind of immediate cachet in terms of the fact that I'm a priest or Latinos or Catholics. But, you know.
And your book has a very, very strong theme, an obvious one, of religion and faith, because you are, of course, a man of faith. Why did you think that it was important for you to put it out in a book that obviously is going to be read by, you know, people of all different faiths or lack of faith?
Yeah, I mean, I you know, you write about what matters to you, and those kinds of larger themes matter to me. So... you know, obviously that got attention in my book, especially as I sought some kind of aerial view. You know, you kind of have to include compassion and mercy and who God is. Otherwise, none of it really makes sense.
And finally, Father Boyle, if listeners want to financially support Homeboy Industries individually, and maybe there's somebody out there with deep pockets, what can they do?
They can go to our website at homeboy-industries.org, or they can call 323-526-1254, or they can come down here. We're at the corner of Alameda and Bruno, 130 West Bruno Street.
Well, We'll put all of those details on our website. We hope to have you in studio sometime in the near future to sit down and talk with you in more detail about your book. Father Gregory Boyle, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
And best of luck to you. The website is homeboy-industries.org. For Sonali, Subversive Thought for the Day, Frederick Buchner once said, "Compassion is sometimes the fatal capacity for feeling what it is like to live inside somebody else's skin. It is the knowledge that there can never really be any peace and joy for me until there is peace and joy finally for you too." That's Sonali, Subversive Thought for the Day.